when the apostles were dedicated to the work that they were doing when they first began their missionary work, first began their mission sent given to them by Jesus Christ, they started doing a great deal of preaching and praying and meditating, trying to get themselves closer to Almighty God so that they could do the work that He asked them to do. And as a result of this, the work that they were doing with poor people especially, and with widows and orphans, they kind of backed off from it a little bit, and these people were being neglected. And so the apostles got together and said, it's not right that we should be doing these things. So they asked, they prayed about it, and they asked to bring forth 7 young men who were holy and just and devout. And these men would be blessed by them, and they would do the work of taking care of the widows and the orphans. And these young men we now call deacons. And as a result, one of the young men who was called up was a man named Stephen, who was, all these men were Greek, by the way. They were Greek Christians, and Stephen was also Greek. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, especially Stephen was, and he preached fearlessly about Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead. He spoke all these things that were going to, and the Jews hated him for it. Like I said, the apostles, they gnashed their teeth at him, which means they were very, very angry with him, and they decided they have to stop this man because he's very, very popular. He has a great, very, very, very great influence on the people. And so they dragged him out. When he knelt down and he saw the skies opening up, and he saw God the Father sitting there, and Jesus at his right hand, he proclaimed it out loud. That was it. The Jews grabbed him as a mob, dragged him out beyond the city, beyond the walls of the city, and killed him. And while they were killing him, he asked Jesus, as it says in the Acts of the Apostles, he asked Jesus not to lay the sin of his murder on the people who were killing him because they were acting in a rage and they really didn't know any better. So it shows us very, very, very plainly how the grace of God can strengthen us and fortify us and make us proclaim our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as being the King of the universe without any fear, because we are doing it because we have the grace to do it and because it is the truth. You know, very, very often I have individuals come to me and they ask me, you know, you travel so much, Father, you get on the planes and you go all the place. Aren't you afraid of the plane crashing? Or you go and you work on the exorcisms and you cast out demons from people. Aren't you afraid? And I said, well, you have to understand something very, very clearly. You know, when we work for Almighty God as a priest or even as lay people, we are on the winning team. You know, God does not lose to anyone. We are on the winning team, so why should I have anything to be afraid of? Almighty God is going to take care of me as long as I do it the way He wants it done. As long as I do His will the way He wants it done, He's going to take care of me because He has my best interest at heart. And this is proof in today's Acts of the Apostles where St. Stephen tells us about the idea, and he was the first one to be murdered for love and for the name of Jesus Christ. So we call him proto-martyr because he's the very, very first one. And it's very, very important for us to understand it and to realize that when God gives us the grace that we need to do His holy will, He gives us the grace that we need to be His children. He also gives us the grace that we need to recognize that no matter what we do, when we do it for the love of Almighty God, for His greater honor and glory, and when we do it without fear, because we are proclaiming the truth the way it has always been. We are proclaiming to mankind, even those who are enemies of Christ, they cannot stop hearing the truth about Christ. And if they try to stop us by killing us, they do us a favor because they martyr us for the name of Jesus Christ, which means our martyrdom is our salvation. So it's very, very important for us to see it from the eyes of St. Stephen, if you will, and realize that this man was sanctified by Almighty God in His grace. And as a result of these things, he proclaimed fearlessly about Jesus Christ. And the Jews couldn't stop him until they killed him. And even then, by killing him, they made him a martyr, and they perpetuated his story for all time. So it's really important for us to see it in that aspect. Today's gospel is also very, very interesting because Almighty God warns the Jews, especially the Jews in Jerusalem. He complains about Jerusalem because all the prophets who went to Jerusalem in the Old Testament were murdered. Every single one of them were murdered by the Jews in Jerusalem. They are a stiff-necked people. They absolutely refuse. Their religion was the religion of preparation for the coming of the Messiah. And when the Messiah was spoken and preached to them, they absolutely refused to listen to it. So Almighty God warned them. And Jesus even said, he goes, you know, you have a house that is desolate. There's nothing there. Because you drove them out yourself. You draw Almighty God out yourself. And even then, when Christ was being crucified, they proclaimed in a crowd, in a loud voice in Jerusalem, you know, we have no king but Caesar. And then Pilate asked him, what about this man, pointing to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And they said, crucify him. Let his blood be on us and on our children. They denied Christ, and today's day they still do. But it's very, very important for us to understand that those who are trying to serve Almighty God to the best of their ability, they have the grace of God at their disposal. All they have to do is use it. People ask me, well, how do I use the grace of God? Very, very simply, you allow it to work in you. You don't resist it. We'll say, well, how do you do that? Most people, and this is true for most people, when they pray to Almighty God, they have an idea in their mind about how God is going to respond to them. Or while they're praying about what they want from Almighty God. Or, you know, help me with, I want good health. I want to do this better. I want this. They want things, okay? And Almighty God promised us that He has our best interest at heart. So when we think about the idea of God's best interest, we think about who we're talking about here. God Almighty, infinite mind, infinite reality, infinite possibilities, helping us to the best of His ability. So the help He's going to give us, which is for our betterment, for our well-being, may not be something that we have even thought of. It may be beyond our understanding. But it is the best thing for us, so that's what He's going to give to us when we ask Him for help. So when we pray to Almighty God and we ask Him for help, and we thank Him and glorify Him for being who He is, we should recognize the importance of the fact that Almighty God is not restricted the way human beings are restricted. His mind is not limited the way our minds are limited. He sees all the possibilities, whereas we do not. He sees what is best for us, whereas we always don't. And He also sees what will do us harm, which we also don't see. So it's really important for us to trust God's judgment and realize that if He has our best interest at heart, if He created us because He wants us to spend eternity with Him immortally, if He did all these things for us, we have to recognize the fact that He has our best interest at heart. And being that we believe in that, we must trust His judgment above our own and recognize that if God's going to help me, He's going to help me in a way that I may not understand. He's going to help me spiritually to be better than what I am by His grace. And so how do we cooperate with the grace of God? Very, very simply, we don't restrict God's work within us. A lot of individuals, they ask for God's help, and then they stand in the doorway of their heart, and they blockade His way so He can't get in. Because they want to do it their way, not God's way. There are many individuals in the world who proclaim to be Christians. And I believe sincerely that they love Jesus Christ. I believe that they do. But they love Jesus Christ on their own terms. We have to love Almighty God on His terms, not on our terms. Which means we must love Him the same way that He loves us. You say, well, how does God love us? God loves us unconditionally. There's nothing attached to it. He loves us because He created us, and His creation of us proves that He loves us. He wants to share His infinite love with us for all eternity, and that proves that He loves us. So if we think about these things in these terms, when we come to the conclusion that God has our best interests at heart, so the question very obviously is, why don't people trust Him? Why don't human beings trust Him? And the answer very, very simply is because most human beings have not taken the time to know who God is. I said, what are you talking about? I know who God is. I said, fine, tell me, who is Jesus Christ? And they answered me, Son of God, second person of the Blessed Trinity. I said, that's what He is. Who is He as a person? I said, I don't understand your question. I'll make it simpler. Who are you? And they look at me. I'm so-and-so. That's okay, but what is so-and-so? What does that mean about you? Tell me your name, but it doesn't tell me who you are. What kind of a person are you? What kind of likes and dislikes do you have? What kind of tendencies do you have? What do you think about? What do you plan on doing? How do you treat your neighbors? All these things define what you are. The same thing with Almighty God. People say, well, God defines Himself by what He is. Of course, but do you know what He is personally? God wants us to know Him intimately the same way that He knows us, as far as is possible to human beings. Only then can you appreciate what He really is, because only then can you truly love Him. How can you love someone that you do not know? You may love them in a very, very ambiguous sense or a very, very vague sense, but specifically speaking, how can you love someone that you do not know? All those of you who are married, You love your spouse, and you know them pretty well. You love your children, you know them pretty well. It proves to us that human beings who know each other very, very well are capable of loving each other more completely because of that fact, because of that knowledge. With God, no different. God knows us very, very well because He made us. He's the creator of all human beings, of all things that are visible and invisible. But we don't know Him the way we should. And this is what it's all about in this world, to take the time to get to know who Almighty God is, particularly Jesus Christ. And you say, why particularly Jesus Christ? Trinity is three persons, one being. And that's very, very true. But Jesus Christ is the easiest to identify because He is human as well as God. He has a human nature and a divine nature. He has a body. God the Father does not. He's pure spirit. Holy Ghost is pure spirit. It's much, much more difficult for us to identify with them than it is to identify with Jesus Christ because He is human and divine, hypostatic union in one person. It's much more easier for us. It's easier for us to identify Him, to get to know Him better than it is the other two. Although in reality, it's the same being; it's just different persons. And this is again, this is the mystery of the Trinity. But it's really important for us to do and think about it. And God did it that way for that reason. He could have done it a different way as far as salvation was concerned. He could have had a different plan to do it. But this is the best way for human beings and their free will choice to choose something that they know. To identify with something that they know, identify with something that someone that they do know. So God became man and came in this world, born as a man of a virgin, human being, lived as a human being, died as a human being on the cross. But the difference is He had another nature, which was divine, which gave a sacrifice infinite value. So it's really important for us to see it in these terms and realize that if I get to know Jesus Christ as a person, you say, how do you do that? You ask Him by talking to Him. You speak to Him and you ask Him to tell you about Himself. This sounds very, very corny. Sounds very, very strange. But in reality, how else do you get to know somebody except you sit down and you talk to them, they tell you things about themselves, or they tell you things about their viewpoints and so forth, and you tell the same thing to them, and you get to know each other. With Jesus Christ, it's no different. You talk to Him, and He talks to you. So my question very, very simply is, how can you get to know Jesus Christ if you don't talk to Him? So my advice to you as a spiritual leader of this congregation, very, very simply is, if you want to get to know who Christ is more intimately, you have to sit down and talk to Him. People say, well, I pray all the time. There's nothing wrong with prayer. Prayer is very, very important. Conversation is also very, very important. Prayer brings you up to that spiritual mindset where you think about God. And once you get to that place, you have to go beyond that place to the place to where you actually talk to God and you realize who you're talking to. A lot of individuals, they say the prayers, they go through the books, and they spend a lot of time praying. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's very, very, very good. It's a very, very good way to be in your spiritual life. It's a very, very good way to maintain the consistency about thinking about God. But in reality, what you want to do is, you want to converse with Almighty God to find out what He wants from you and how He wants you as an individual person to behave. Because if you ask Him sincerely, truthfully, He will make it known to you, and you will understand it. But this all begins the idea of we must know who God is, and when we get to that point, we can be just like St. Stephen was. Fearless, doubtless, completely courageous, because we know that God is there, God is on our side, and what we are telling the world is God's truth, and there's no doubt about it. So this is what we are striving for, to follow this example. The only reason why we have examples of saints in the history of the church anyway, for us to recognize these human beings are human beings just like we are, with faults and questions and problems, all this other kind of stuff. The differences with them and with us is they made a commitment to Almighty God. They learned about Almighty God. They were open to the grace of God. And as a result, they were consecrated by Almighty God to the point to where they were totally fearless. So we have to do the same thing, become fearless about talking about Almighty God, even though in some places it's illegal. God's laws are God's laws, and they supersede everything else. I'm not saying you should do things that are illegal, but what I'm saying is, when it comes down to faith in Almighty God, or denial of faith in Almighty God, you have no choice. If you are a child of God, you must proclaim it, and not deny it. So if you think about these things, think about St. Stephen and what he did, and how he was a very, very young man. He was only in his early 20s when he was killed. Very young. And yet, he was he was sanctified by God's grace to the point to where he was fearless. And he saw all these crowds screaming and yelling at him, throwing things at him, and didn't stop him from doing what he was doing because he knew it was right and he knew it was necessary. He was needed to be heard. So the world is in the same situation that it was then. Basically, the world needs to hear about Almighty God. The world needs to hear about Jesus Christ, about who he is and what he is and what he did for us and what we should do to appease him. The world must be reminded about why we are here. We are here because God put us here in time and change to make the decision of free will choice to serve him with all of our heart and all of our soul. And if we don't do these things when we are here, we're never going to do them in eternity either. So it's really important for us to see it the way God has laid it out before us and realize that all these things are possible if we ask him to help us. Without God's help, it's not possible. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.